Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting with a global audience via LinkedIn audio. Recorded live, anyone can tune in and take part. Just raise your hand and share the stage. Will you join Anders next time? For now, kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Welcome, everyone, to the Hashtag Finance Master Show. This week's topic is creating value with data and analytics. The show today is based on an interview I did with analytics thought leader Prashant Sudhakar, who shared with me lots of great insights in terms of how data analytics teams work, how they create value, what skills you need to be successful in such a team, how they can work together with finance teams. And generally speaking, we just had a great conversation. So in today's show, I'll share the key highlights. The format of the show is simple. I'll talk about the key points of the blog post from this morning. And at any time, you can raise your hand to come up on stage to share your perspective on the topic or ask a question. So feel free to use the raise hand button whenever you feel like it. But let's get into today's topic. So we have talked over the past couple of weeks, actually even 2 months, about finance versus data analytics. I come from the finance side myself, and I'm interested to see how finance professionals can work together, not against data analytics professionals, to increase value creation in the company. However, it's also been important for me to talk to people on the other side, the data analytics leaders. How do they see their role in the company, and how do they see them working together with finance teams? So getting Prashant Sudhakar on the show was a great initiative to get more perspectives from the other side. So the fundamental question that I also discussed with Prashant was, how can the disciplines of finance and data analytics work best together in a collaborative way to create value in the company? What does finance have to learn from data analytics professionals? And what can data analytics professionals learn from finance? And most importantly, how can leaders ensure that these two skill sets are combined effectively to drive the greatest possible value for organizations? Because what I see out there, and feel free to come on stage and challenge me, is that these two teams more often end up in a conflict or a fight about who can come out with the best possible insights and drive value. And instead of actually combining their resources, they both have a go at the same numbers and see who can come first to the table. So it's not very productive. So to get a better answer for this, I spoke to Prashant, and he has worked in the data analytics space for long. He began his career in India, working for an engineering company. Then relocated to Europe, working on SAP implementation for Procter & Gamble. He had a stint back in India, and now he's based in Calgary in Canada. And here he consults on large data analytics projects for companies such as P&G, GE, Shell, and others. He also supports small organizations with their data analytics plans. He works as an academic also. He also sits on the advisory board of MIT's Chief Data Officer Symposium and advises companies in Silicon Valley, Switzerland, India, and other places in the world about data analytics. He's also a renowned author and has several bestsellers to his name. So there's many great capacities in the data analytics space, but Prashant is definitely one of them. So I was really happy that he came on the show. He's also passionate about education, and he works very hard to disseminate knowledge about data analytics and its impact on businesses. Because it's a relatively new field, at least for the broad population of professionals, and we still need much more knowledge about how to effectively use all the data that's available to companies to create value. So it's a big passion of Prashant's. And as he explains, you know, whether he's supporting a company the size of Apple, or one with just a few $1 million in revenue, the question is the same. How do we get value out of data analytics and digital technologies? And I think any company today are asking themselves this kind of question. So to answer the question of how can we get value out of DNA and digital technologies, Prashant basically begins by splitting the question into three parts, and each of which he considers within the context of the organization. Says number one, do they help you increase your revenue? Number two, do they help you reduce your expenses? And number three, do they help you mitigate risk? I can see we also now have Prashant in the audience. So Prashant, feel free to come on stage anytime to also share further perspectives. Great to have you here as well. In addition to those 3 points, there's kind of like a 3-part also to implementing data analytics practices. And that is, what's the purpose of the measures being implemented? Number one, is it operations, like cutting a purchase order or selling an invoice? Is it compliance, like you have to capture data because your regulators require it? Or is it about decision-making? And we can probably all agree that, let's say, number three is probably the most exciting part, and also where there's, let's say, most debate about, you know, should we do X or should we do Y? But clearly, that's where you can add a lot of value by coming with the right insights. So to even begin implementing data analytics program in your company, Prashant says that companies have to believe in measurement and performance improvement. So fundamentally, analytics is all about measurement of data in the widest definition and improving performance. The operational performance improvement, financial performance improvement, you name it. But if you don't believe in this, then the company culture of data analytics is not there. So it's going to be pointless to improve or implement any data analytics practices. Because analytics provides visibility, and visibility drives performance. So if you're not accepting the performance improvement concept, the analytics will not help you. So just continuing Prashant's train of thought here, basically acknowledged that while the analytics concepts are becoming more widely understood, it can be difficult for non-specialists, so those outside of the analytics, to understand how these practices can be implemented in real-world situations. He goes on to share a simple, but I think great example. I can see we now have Daniel raising his hand here, so I'll bring Daniel to the stage as well. So basically, Prashant talks about a Canadian retail company. They had a hypothesis that the sales was dependent on weather. And since Canada is a cold country, of course, the weather plays a big role. If it snows and the next day it's warm, there's a good chance that people will come for car washes. But where do you get the data? So they looked at the point of sale data and brought in third-party weather data and integrated it. And then they said, hey, tomorrow is going to be sunny too. Here's a $2 discount coupon that we're sending straight to your app in your phone. And that's a very simple example of using the analytics to drive revenue. Maybe simple, but you'll have to think about it and actually get it done. Then welcoming Daniel to the stage. Daniel, feel free to introduce yourself and share your perspective or ask a question.
Hi, guys. I've been on this program, but I think data analysts, you should be able to have the precise details about the market itself. Regarding the market, you can be able to share what you think you can contribute to the sector to see how you can have the exponential growth in your company. Because most data analysts, most of them don't have what I call the competence capacity to read the market status. And it's very effective if you have that right perfectly. And also in the other part, the data analysts should be able to work along. They should be having collaborative functioning with the financing companies in order to have this potential result and see how they can drive trade in the company. So that's the perspective that I have for both departments.
Thanks a lot for sharing that, Daniel. And we actually touched upon it also in the conversation with Prashant, and I think we'll maybe get back to it. But essentially, if you don't understand the business, then you cannot put the data in context of anything. So of course, whether you're in finance or you're a data analyst, you need to have that understanding. Otherwise, your work becomes futile. So I think that's a great perspective. Thanks a lot for sharing that. We also have Troy on the stage. Troy, welcome. Feel free to unmute yourself and then share your perspective or ask a question.
Hi, Anders. Hello to all your viewers. My name is Troy Prasad. I'm from Toronto, Canada. You mentioned that measurement is a big part of data analytics. I was wondering, how do you decide what to measure? Because there is a lot of stuff with all this data we can go about measure. But what would be the best approach to decide what to measure?
That's a great question, Troy. And I think the example that Prashant gave with the weather data was actually spot on to explain the question here. So the key point is that you develop a hypothesis around what would have to be true for a specific solution to be correct or to investigate a root cause about a specific problem. So the example the retail company had a hypothesis to say that the weather would drive sales. So in that case, of course, they need to measure weather data or include weather data into their modeling to understand when to push the coupons. But if you don't understand what's driving your business or what's driving certain decisions, then of course you wouldn't know what to measure. And then maybe you measure everything or anything you can come in contact with. And maybe you should do that, but if you can't disseminate what's useful for decision-making here now and what's not, you end up being overwhelmed with data and it's not informing any decision-making. It's probably even hurting your decision-making because you're spending so much time looking at data, whereof a lot of it is really not useful, at least not in the situation you have right now. So I think, you know, develop a hypothesis that you can investigate through data, and then you measure that data you need to confirm or reject your hypothesis. I think that's the simple answer to that question, but it's really, really a great question, Troy. We'll just continue a little bit here, but again, you know, you can do like Troy and Daniel, come on stage, ask questions, or share perspectives at any time. So despite its importance in modern business, you know, data analytics can appear to be an arcane art to non-specialists. I wonder then at least what did Prashant believe are the key skills required of data analytics professionals and the ones he has developed themselves. So if I look at social media, for example, you know, most discussions in the data analytics space are on hard skills. So coding, programming, and if as finance professionals, and I do that from time to time, should we learn to code? 67% says yes. And when you ask them what coding language should we learn, 50% says Python or R or some similar data science language. So they're all really much into learning all these hard skills. And of course, hard skills are required. As Prashant says, he's not disputing that hard skills are required. We need business skills. Speaking of Daniel's questions, we need programming skills to be able to use these different kind of languages. And then we need statistics and math. There are definitely hard skills that are needed. But then Prashant goes on to say, but most importantly, in his experience, he's seen that it's actually the soft skills that are really important. And he has this concept of the three C's. The first one is about communication. And not just talking or writing, but also listening and understanding the needs of your stakeholders or customers. And I think the listening part is key. Because if you put a business leader, let's just say, and a technical specialist together, data analytics, for instance, and the business leader needs to explain to the DNA professional what their issue is, they probably speak in their business language. And while you may have business skills, it can still be difficult for a technical professional to understand exactly what that business leader means. So if we're not good at listening and understanding what's going on, then we're not able to develop the right solution. In fact, in our language at BPI, we use a model called NASA. Needs acceptance, solution acceptance. So in any customer dialogue you have, internal, external customer, doesn't really matter. You need to understand the need of the customer. One, you need to show or gain acceptance for that you understand that need. Because just because you've heard it doesn't mean you understand it. So you listen to the need and then you would speak back, here's what I heard. Is that also what you meant? Oftentimes, yes. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes you understood it incorrectly. Sometimes they said something, but it wasn't what they meant. So we need to have acceptance. Then once you have acceptance, you can start building the solution. So you go out and build a solution. Ideally, you involve your customer along the way, but you build a solution and then you go and present it to the decision makers. And that's where you need to get acceptance again, right? So solution, acceptance. If you don't get acceptance for your solution, then of course it's not going to work. So clearly this is an important skill and it really drives everything to be successful with data analytics and by all means also in the finance function. Number two is collaboration. Obviously I love this, right? Because you know, you're not, data analytics is not an island, you need to work together with business functions, finance teams, et cetera, to understand the needs so that they can put their technical skills into play. So you're working with diverse skills, right? You're working with data teams, you work with IT, you work with business, you're working with data governance team, you're working sometimes with regulators or external parties. So it's all about collaboration, working with different teams and bringing them all together. And that can be hard to develop. Coming from a finance background, it's hard for us to collaborate. We just tell people, hey, you're behind your budget. You need to do something differently. We are also, in a sense, technical professionals, like many in the data analytics space. So it's difficult to develop these collaboration skills. And the last one that Prashant highlights is critical thinking, which is around problem solving and making quick and good decisions. Because you might get very good insights, but if you're not able to take that insight and make decisions quickly, it's pretty much useless. So speaking from the mouth of a thought leader in the data analytics space, he highlights soft skills as what's most important. And in finance, we have maybe the same challenge. Yes, we need to be technically sound and the numbers need to be correct. Same thing in data analytics. You need to know your technical stuff, right? In terms of business skills, programming, math, and statistics. But if you don't have the soft skills, it's not going to work. And if neither the finance team nor the data analytics team have the soft skills either, no wonder why we often end in a fight and compete to bring the insights fastest to the table. But when I asked Prashant if he thought there was a battle going on, you maybe weren't too specific about the battle per se, but he definitely agreed that finance and data analytics need to work together in order to create the most value in the company. With that, I'm just going to open the floor to new perspectives or questions, either from Daniel or Troy, but of course, from anyone in the audience. Feel free to raise your hand, come on stage and share a thought or a question.
Hey, there's Troy again. So it would seem that data analytics is more closely aligned with the FP&A role right now, which is where you can find a lot more value creation opportunities. Do you think data analytics has a role to play under the controllership, especially with regards to the month-end close and other similar activities?
I'd say it could definitely be, right? They have a technical skill set that can be applied in any business or finance process. And they often have technical skills that supersedes those of finance professionals. So definitely they can play a role there, but they would need to understand our needs as well in order to help us with that. So definitely I see that as an opportunity. And I can see we now have Prashant, who obviously was so kind to give this interview. We also have Achille on the stage. So some great analytics leaders coming up here. Prashant, maybe you can go ahead and just say hello and maybe also share your perspective.
Hey, and I just want to go back to Troy's earlier question about measurement and what to measure. That was a great question. In fact, I've written a blog on Forbes on what to measure. So my view is that, of course, there are tons and tons of data that is available of different categories, different types, and so on. But my preference, of course, you need to pick and choose. You can't measure everything, given that you have a limited amount of time and resources. So my preference or my strategy is to focus more on transactional data. So people might say, why? There are many other types. Why is there so much concern about transactional data? I have a couple of reasons for this. Number one, if you look at any transactional data, whether it's a purchase order or invoice or sales order or contracts, most of them have direct correlation with the consumption of business resources like time, money, labor, so on and so forth. That's number one. Next, number two, almost every transactional data is attributed to financial value. The same exact entities like purchase order, invoices, remittance, so on, they have a financial number, so which makes it very easy to quantify because you are associating everything to a tangible metric. The third thing is every transaction data has got an impact on accounting. If you look at almost every public company, they have compliance to IFRS and GAAP. So when you talk about transaction data, there is something that's hitting the GL and that has an impact on accounting. That's one of the reasons why you need to look at transaction data. And the other thing is transaction data have got attributes to decision-making and performance management. Like for instance, I was working for a big transportation company and they had 500,000 customers. So my question is, how many of them did you get orders in the last 1.5 years? Surprisingly, it was 1,700. So you might be boasting of saying that you have 500,000 customers in your database. So what? You are doing business with just about 1,700 of them in the last 1.5 or 2 years. So the remaining, whatever the customers, the huge number you have no relationship with your analytics. What really matters is this 1,700, because they are the ones who are actually impacting your top line as well as your bottom line. So to try the more details, you can visit my blog, the Forbes one, and we can discuss offline too. But overall, I felt it was a great question. So that's why I came on stage to answer that.
Thanks so much, Prashant. We really do appreciate you adding some more color to that part. Akili, welcome to the stage as well. You were also here last week as far as I remember, but feel free to also introduce yourself and share your perspective also.
Thanks for having me. Hey, everyone. Listen, Prashant brings up a great point with transaction and the question that was mentioned before about what to measure. So I won't add on to that because he pretty much nailed it. But I like the sentiments of what you talked about, the soft skills. And the question I was going to ask the group or everyone is, have they had an instance where they got the person with the soft skills, they have the person with the technical know-how, but it's failed? And what do you do? What have they done? I'm just looking to see if anyone wants to share their experiences and what they've done.
So in the essence of that, I'm going to ask Prashant if he has an example of that. Please go ahead then, Prashant.
So Akili, if I have to summarize your question, so you are emphasizing the importance of soft skills in analytics, isn't it?
Soft skills in analytics, but my question is more around, what do you do if things go wrong? So we talked about it. We got good insights. What are people's experiences when it goes wrong? What do they do? What are some highlights or some nuggets we can share? I can obviously share mine.
Yeah, you can go first. Yeah, well, I think I'll organize my thoughts.
I'll go first. My background is I worked in a company in Canada called, well, first it was Walmart, then Loblaw. Loblaw is one of the largest grocers. I headed up the finance group in the supply chain function. And for me, edging through my career in finance and then moving towards data and analytics was a long journey. But I would tell you this, I learned more from failing. I learned more from going through the experiences where I put up the PowerPoint presentation with the whole income statement in front of D&A people and learned that that wasn't the correct way to tell the story. And that skill set for me took quite some time, I'll say a number of years. I continue to refine it when I go on stage. So I just always think that that type of question, even when I teach and I bring that out to students, it brings out a lot of conversation and a lot of learnings on what the experience was, what the true core experience was, what the learning is, and I'll say help everyone within the group to kind of do better when that situation arises. So the one takeaway for me for storytelling in the presentations is less is more, and really work your presentation so that the numbers that are on there are the key things that you're measuring. You don't necessarily need every single KPI or every single number that supports the calculation.
You're absolutely right, Akili. And what I see from finance professional, I don't see many data analytics presentations for good reasons. What I see often is just in standard management reporting is that there's way too much data and way too much information, way too many numbers. And if I'm a business leader looking at that, I wouldn't know where to begin and where to end. So we have to simplify. Less is more, as you say. And I find that, and I think that goes for both finance and data analytics professionals, is that you want to do a good presentation, start with structure. You have a great structure, then, you know, it doesn't matter if you're not the greatest person at making slides or the most entertaining person on stage. If you have a great structure with the key points, you can convince most business leaders. But, you know, often we just overwhelm information instead, and that's why it goes wrong. But in that case, I would also argue then maybe you don't have the needed soft skills to succeed. So just adding some perspectives there. I don't know, Prashant, did that give you time to organize your thoughts?
Yeah. So, again, okay, now I understand where Akili was going. So in my book, Analytics Best Practices, I have talked about what to do when things go wrong. But I'll talk about the two things that you can prevent from things going wrong. The first thing is I'm a strong believer in the concept called citizen data scientist. It's a concept that came from Gartner, which basically in simple words, what does it mean is that people who are closer to data and business process are the ones who are best positioned to get insights out of data. So rather than having your own data analytics team, look at people, teach them the data skills so that they can derive insights and work on that. That's number one. The second thing is we always talk about business objectives, look at data, look at the models, look at insights, and then look at decisions. My strategy is also, okay, that's one way of doing it, doing things, which is nothing wrong, that the chances of getting success are much higher if you start from the other side. What is the other side? Look at decisions and what decisions you need to make. And to make these decisions, what insights do you need? And to derive these insights, what data you need? Start on the other side as well. So don't always go with the top down, go also from bottom up so that the chances are much higher. There are many more in my book, but I was, in the interest of time, I'll just pick these two of my top favorite ones.
Thanks a lot, Prashant. And I think, you know, start with the decision you want to make, and I don't think you can ever go wrong with that piece of advice. So really great. We are over time, but I'm just in this for sake of good order. We also have Daniel Asara on stage. Daniel, I'll give you the famous last words before I round off. We have a question or a perspective to share. Feel free.
Thank you very much. I wanted to ask a question. Our brother Prashant spoke about transactional data. I just want to find out if you have an issue of measurement that has to deal with losing out in your market share. Can transactional data help you to be able to measure how you are losing out in the market share of your product and all that? Because we tried it sometime. I didn't see any success with that. So can you throw more light on that for me?
Yeah, sure. I'll be quick and in the interest of time again. The first thing is when we talk about market share, you need to define those KPIs that are pertaining to the market share. So again, I'm assuming here. In fact, I say that in the four analytics, there are four key building blocks. And one of those four building blocks is assumptions. We'll come to that later, or probably we can discuss offline. Now, coming back to your question, Daniel, the first thing you need to do is identify the KPIs. So in these KPIs, I'm believing that the market share is about sales orders. So you can look at all the sales orders and you can draw some patterns about how the sales orders are actually performing and look at different patterns or levers which are impacting the sales. Is it about the payment terms? Is it about product mix? Is it about the poor marketing thing, which is also correlated with your sales funnel? So KPIs are the ones which actually bind your data to your insights. So if you don't have a strong KPI, then you will be going with hundreds of insights, but just which are just theory, that which are not really actionable. So it says KPIs are kind of the glue which links your data to your insights. So again, look at KPIs and how do you define KPIs? And definitely the answer is yes. You can use transactional data to look at your market share and why it is dipping or increasing too.
Thanks a lot for that answer, Prashant. We have come to the end of the road for episode 8 of the Hashtag Finance Master Show, a live show on LinkedIn audio every week, also being repurposed into a podcast on Spotify and all your favorite channels. It's been a great discussion today. We probably have stayed here for half an hour more to continue discussing, but I want to thank Daniel and Troy, Achille, and of course, Prashant, the staff today's show, also for giving the interview to both the blog and the podcast. It's been great having you here on stage today. I hope you'll all tune in next week for another interview, this time with a finance professional to hear his thoughts on data analytics. And see you next week. Thanks, everyone, and bye for now.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting. And why not join Anders every Thursday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?